Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
It's a Sunday fun day in tennis paradise. Welcome to TC Live, where we lead you up to first ball every day at the BNP Paribas Open. With snow-capped mountains in the distance, who will tower over the competition and who will melt under the pressure of the moment? Lots to discuss over the next hour. Novak Djokovic returned for the first time in 5 years. Here with the world number one and five-time champ had to say about being back and the new history he made. Plus, the top-ranked American was given a scare in her first match, how Coco fought back, and Aryna Sabalenka pulled out the match of the tournament. Where have all the one-handed backhands gone? Not in the top 10. So is this a sign of the times or simply a momentary glitch? Our experts have the answer. And two more collegiate stars get a grant that can change their lives. We are announcing this year's winners of the Hurt Awards right here on TC Live. You don't want to miss it. Taking a look at our featured matches, we are down to the round of 32 on the men's and women's side. World number one Iga Swiatek taking on a young star from the Czech Republic, Linda Noskova. Carlos Alcaraz, returning champ, battles the Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime. Jannik Sinner in action. How about Katie Vollinets having the tournament of her life against another former champion, Caroline Wozniacki. And then Ben Shelton in the night session against Francisco Cerúndolo. Couple of these guys out on the practice courts getting ready to go. There is Carlitos going to face FAA. Carlos set to come from a set down to win his first match of the tournament. He's won seven straight here in the desert. And then Ben Shelton also needed a comeback in his first match. Said he had to dig deep into the third round for the first time. Gets Cerúndolo later today. A lot of fans here all weekend long, and you can find us inside Stadium 1. Wave through the windows. It is the Tennis Channel desk, and we are going four wide once again on this Sunday. Steve Weissman, Lindsay Davenport, John Isner, Prakash Amitrash, the Mint Men. How did this happen?
I walked in. I didn't know anyone else owned this color. But look, the good news is, whether you like mint white chocolate or mint chocolate chip, we got you covered either way.
We got you covered. This is sort of like a members-only deal. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
You're not part of it. The Masters is coming up.
Yeah.
We might be starting our own exclusive club here.
Look at this. They're grand single here. We're ready for like the Step Brothers sequel over
exactly
here.
Look at these guys over here.
And by complete accident, we have
complete
to add.
Complete accident, of course.
That's why. Where's your mint shirt, John?
I know. I needed that. It's exactly what I needed.
Twins.
Steve, we got to do a better job.
I should have gone blue today. By the way, the fans have been chiming in about you, John. Take a look at this because, you know, we know John Isner's 6'10".
Yeah.
Sitting on the floor.
I think I responded to that yesterday. My seat was entirely too low.
We are not that close.
I was looking at myself on the TV, and it just felt weird, right? I'm supposed to be the tallest person.
Yep,
so now I'm kind of seat up a little bit higher. My posture's a little bit better.
Yeah.
I got to make amends
for
that.
We're moving in the right direction.
It makes me feel good because I'm the shortest one out here, and you know, the seat makes me feel all nice up here. But this is wild. The mint stuff.
Great. I will say one thing, though. John and I are huge wrestling historians.
Yes,
and back in the day, you know, the tag teams, they used to come out in coordinating outfits.
Yeah.
There we go.
The Hart Foundation, Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty. Mm-hmm. So maybe just, you know, in the back of our mind, we're just, you know, coming correct to that.
This might be our new thing moving forward.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Who's bringing the people's elbow today? Yeah, exactly. All right. We had the match of the tournament last night. This was special. Out on Stadium 1, Peyton Stearns going punch for punch, Lindsay, with the two-seed Aryna Sabalenka.
What an unbelievable match this was. The American, who came into this tournament with one win. She now had two going into this match, played the match of her life, and she got the crowd behind her. There was most exciting atmosphere going on. Sabalenka rebounded in the second set. She got more aggressive. She took more shots inside the baseline. Then you wondered in the third, can Stearns stay with her? Stearns held her serve through the first eight games and then got a humongous break in the ninth game to give herself a chance to serve for the match. Went up 40-love, Steve. Had four match points, and it was right when Sabalenka was able to dial it in, saved all four match points. This was the one that I think will Peyton Stearns will be thinking about. Played a great point. How does this slice go in?
And oh, my.
Saves all four match points. Stearns came back and broke again in the next game to serve for the match. Got broken, so we went to a final set breaker, and this is right when Sabalenka turned it on. An incredible effort from the two-time Australian Open champion who really showed the crowd she can step up in the big moments. Sprained her ankle at one point, continued on, no trainer visit. Humongous win for Sabalenka.
She needed four match points of her own, and what a great embrace there at the net between these two. Sabalenka said, this match will definitely go into the book of craziest and best matches of my career. That's what it says about the former Longhorn, Peyton Stearns, and her fight out there. How about Coco Gauff starting her quest for a first Indian Wells title? Ran into a tough test in Clara Burrell.
This was an interesting match, and in Gauff, I'm not sure I've ever seen her so flat in the first set. It was Burrell who was able to win at 6-2, but Gauff got it together in the second set. Used her athleticism, used her movement, got more consistent. That was key for Gauff. Also got the fans more involved, but Steve hit a lull again in the beginning of the third set. Got down 4-love and then 5-2. But the moment seemed to catch up with Burrell a little bit. Gauff able to lock back in, get consistent, and on we would go again to another final set breaker. It was back and forth between these two, but again, Gauff with her movement and her consistency just proved a little too much for the French woman.
Yeah, when it went to the breaker, got close there in the end, but something about Coco Gauff and her ability to problem solve, even when she doesn't have her top level.
Yeah, it's one thing she's been working on so much is you just have to be better than your opponent across the net. You don't have to be the best in the tournament every day, and it was her fight and one of her best attributes. Serve was a little bit off, 10 double faults, but again, figured out a way to come through, and that's really all you've got to do at the beginning of a tournament.
Was down love four, was down 2-5, but Coco Gauff battles back to advance to the next round and join myself and Prakash at the desk after. Sometimes, as a champion, you don't have your A game, but you got to come through nonetheless. What grade would you give yourself today, and how were you able to come through?
Yeah, I think for me, definitely the mental toughness, definitely an A. I think there's aspects of my game that I would give an A and other aspects I would give an F, but, you know, I think that's just part of having a tough day at the office. But, I wish every day I could play great, but today wasn't that day, and I still got through.
And that is all that matters. Lindsay, we were talking in the green room during this match. You were like, love for it. Coco's winning. Coco's going to win. And you also noticed that her dad, Corey Gauff, was in the player box for the first time since the summer.
Yeah, we hadn't seen him in the player box since Wimbledon. And he came down there after she lost that first set. And we talked so highly about them and their relationship. He got her through that match because he started talking to her. And immediately in that second set, she started to calm down a little bit. She started to refocus. I just think it says so much about how well that family works together. He didn't go down and start shouting at her. He was down there. He was encouraging her. She needed that. He knew that. He was a big part of why she got through.
A couple of big comebacks, John, by both Coco Gauff as well as Aryna Sabalenka, who survived down 40 love in a game, save four match points. How do you rate those two comebacks?
Well, both incredible comebacks. I would say Sabalenka is a little bit more impressive. I mean, four times she was 1 point away, obviously down four match points. Coco, as you took the words out of my mouth, Lindsay, it's exactly what she said in the green room, that at 4-love down in the third, this is not over by any stretch of the imagination. She got down 4-0 because she wasn't playing her best. She was making a lot of errors, had a few more double faults. So it was one of those matches you felt like Coco was always in control. When she was able to rest that back, she was able to win the match.
Yeah, I think I agree with John. I'm going to lean towards the Sabalenka comeback, not just because, you know, triple match point down. I mean, any, like you said, Lindsay, that little slice, 1 inch over here, and then she's out of the tournament. But I thought Peyton played some serious ball yesterday. I mean, she was dominating with that forehand. She was really pushing Sabalenka around the court and seemed like she had a lot of intention behind the way she was playing. So I think a higher quality level of match. Coco, when she dialed it back in, then she was by far the better player there. She just was struggling to find her way. But regardless, listen, you're on the brink of defeat. Both these great Grand Slam champions, to find a way to win, he's got to make it to the next day.
That's what you have to do. What was your takeaway for Peyton Stearns?
Oh, that was an unbelievable match. She played best match of her career, and it's really tough when you play that well and you don't walk away a winner, and especially when you're that close. But given the way she played it just 2 months ago, what a huge step up for her. She's a big-time player. She likes the big court. She likes the big stage. A lot of good things are in her future.
That I actually stayed last night for that one. It just kept going and going and going and going. But the crowd was going for both players.
Yep.
I mean, the atmosphere was something like we're used to here at Indian Wells. It was really special. But congratulations to Sabalenka and Coco Gauff both moving on. Other guys in action, last year's finalists, Daniil Medvedev, wrapping up the night session against Roberto Carbajas Baena Prakash. He has won every Masters 1000 hardcourt event except this one. Got off to a good start.
Well, this was a very, very Medi Bear performance. 82% won on the first serve, 60% won on the second serve. He broke four times. He was never really in trouble. Carbajas Baena, not exactly the type of player who's going to be able to threaten Medvedev. Medvedev just a little bit too much power, moves too good, just not enough juice of shot from Carbajas Baena. One of my favorite parts about Medi, of course, as we know, at that height, still able to move so beautifully around the court. I don't think we've ever seen a man this height move like this, not just in sport, but perhaps any sport. Remarkable. But looked like he was striking the ball very well. I liked him in the night conditions. A little bit heavier, but still was able to hit through the ball. And workmanlike.
Yeah, that's how you want to get through that opening match here at Indian Wells. Won more than 70% of the points on his serve, nearly half on return. Daniil Medvedev taking care of business. Then it's the top-ranked American man, former champ Taylor Fritz, John, looking to get back inside the top 10 in his home event, facing Alejandro Tabilo.
Yes, this was a very great performance in my mind for Taylor. In the first set, there was not much at all that separated them. It was a, you know, it got to the tiebreaker at about 30 minutes in. Both players were holding serve with ease, but Taylor was able to take advantage of second serves from Tabilo in that tiebreaker to take it home. But in the second set, this is what good players do. You win a tight first set, and you get all the momentum, and you just take it home from there. So it's exactly what he did. Tabilo was a little bit discouraged, kind of bailed out with the drop shot right there. But Taylor was entirely too strong in this match. He only lost 8 points all day on his serve in the match, and he served 14 aces at 68%. That's going to work in these conditions.
Yeah, pretty impressive stuff. 24 winners overall to just 7 unforced errors. From the top American to the number one player in all the land, it has been 5 years since Novak Djokovic played in the desert, 8 years since he lifted his last trophy here, won his 5th Indian Wells title in 2016. Another win this year would break the tournament record. Hasn't played since falling in the Aussie Open semifinals. John, it was Australian Alex Vukic that pushed him to the limit.
Yes, Australian and college product Alex Vukic played at the University of Illinois, so it's always good for me to see some college players do well on the pro tour. But look, Djokovic has not played in about 5 or 6 weeks, so hasn't played this tournament in 5 years, so it's a bit of a question mark with how he was going to come out. It looked like, with all intents and purposes, he won the first set easily, he was going to cruise. That is not what happened. Vukic made him play in the second set, got on top of him here, and watch this return. I think it's coming up right here. Set point, return winner off of the first serve. That was pretty darn good.
Surprised but himself.
He sure did. But look, in the third set, you expect Djokovic, arguably the greatest player of all time, to come out and take control of this match, and that's exactly what he did. He got up a break, and he took it home from there. So look, for me, this is a very good match for Novak. Hasn't played in some time. You want to be tested, and good players will tell you to be tested in an early match. But make them, you know, feel a lot more comfortable going forward. He has today off. He's going to work on some things, and he should play much better in his next match, I would believe.
400th Masters 1000 win, has now won 11 straight at Masters 1000 events, and happy to be back in the desert.
Feels great, obviously, to come back with a win. It's been 5 years, and, you know, the great feeling is still there. Enjoyed myself very much. Beautiful stadium, great atmosphere, obviously. I was a bit, you know, nervous at the beginning, you know, whether I'm going to start off well. Haven't played a match more than 5 weeks. He made me, you know, produce some really important points and games in order to prevail in this match. So, you know, I'm glad that I was pushed as well, which was important. It's always great. And, you know, looking forward to the next one.
I think it's fascinating to hear a champion like Novak Djokovic, 24 major titles. I was nervous to start that. We heard John say, you want to be tested yep. as one of the top players. What do you think?
I think also with Novak, he's so realistic. I knew it had been a while since I played a match, wasn't expecting himself to be at his best, and he figured out a way to get through it, and he knows it's a long game. You don't have to play your best tennis when you're Novak in the very first match. You can build your way into a tournament as long as you get through, similar to what we were saying about Coco. He knows he's got some work to do. He's excited to be back here. I think it's awesome he said he was nervous. Yeah. That's why it means so much to him. Yeah. He was so disappointed to miss this tournament for a few years. Fans were so happy to see him back yesterday.
I think it's also great that, you know, Vukic played such a great match, you know, to be able to play against those opponents who are kind of elevating to a certain level. It makes you problem solve out there. And look, there's no one better than Novak Djokovic at being able to do that. But when you're in that match situation and you kind of get that under your belt, it's just fresh in your memory as you go into the next rounds moving forward. And we saw a little bit of everything from Novak. We saw him strong from the baseline. Perhaps he can tighten up the unforced errors, but we did see him at the net a little bit, being able to mix up his serve. So overall, I think he got everything he wanted out of this first match moving into the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a match that, you know, I think it's a good lesson for youngsters out there and amateurs alike. Novak Djokovic was nervous taking the court in his first match in Indian Wells. Look, he has 24 slams. You think he would be impervious to nerves. He's absolutely not. So it's a bit of a nervy match, as he mentioned, but he got through it. And he should be feeling a lot better going forward.
Yeah, and I love your point, Lindsay. It means he cares.
Yeah.
If you're nervous, that means you get. Once you don't get nerves, don't get those butterflies, maybe it's time to not play anymore. Djokovic, he's going to be around for a while. Yeah. Looking for all of the records here in the sport of tennis. Much more still to come here on TC Live. We are looking at the Americans, more of them in action. And guess what? Some of these top seeds were knocked out. Some survived. We will tell you which did what. And Rafa Nadal pulled out of Indian Wells, but he went on Instagram to send a message that he is getting ready for next month. Our experts have the dirt on what it all means.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
LD John Prakashi back on TC Live at Indian Wells. You can set up multiple screens to watch this event. We've got you covered on T2 and Bally Sports. Leif Shiras, Paul Anacone going to call that big one. Francis Tiafo and Stefano Tsitsipas, followed by Madison Keys and Yulia Putintseva. Both those matches, good ones. Following those on T2, we've got the Second Serve crew bringing you at least 3 more hours of tennis matches, entertainment, conversation. What will it look like in tennis paradise this Sunday? It is now time for today's forecast with Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Kendall Smith, and this is today's BNP Paribas Open tennis forecast. Partly cloudy skies with temperatures topping out today in the low 80s. It's going to feel fantastic. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you so much. Still to come, we started with 7 mothers in the singles draw. So how many would earn a berth into week 2? Highlights from Naomi Osaka and Elina Svitolina. Lindsay gave me a laugh on that on the way. Welcome back. Tennis.com, the place to keep up with all the action from Indian Wells and all year round. Check out to follow men's and women's tournament draws, as well as breaking news, live scores, stats, and results. Download the Tennis app or visit Tennis.com today, and you can find every day Leah Davidoff with your 3 to see. Previewing the best matches of the day, she's looking at that big Francis Tiafoe-Stefano Tsitsipas match, Caroline Wozniacki and Katie Vollinets, plus Bublik Dimonor. You may be surprised which American Leah predicts will win today. Back to the action from yesterday. 2018 champ Naomi Osaka looking for her first top 20 win in 2 years, Lindsay, facing Ludmila Samsonova. Osaka says she's having more fun on court now.
Yeah, Samsonova served for the first set, and that's right when Osaka, Steve, found her A-game, played one of the best matches we've seen since her comeback started in January. She was able to dictate play. She was controlling the tempo. But more importantly, she kept her unforced errors down. She made so many in her first match against Sarah Errani. That was not the case against Samsonova. She's a very good player, a very tough out. And love the way Osaka not only was hitting the ball, but also how she competed.
Yeah, both players 13 winners. Osaka 11 fewer unforced errors. Said her daughter really loves it out here, so who am I to take her away from the desert? They are both staying for a little bit longer. Another mama, Elena Svitolina, saw her husband get a couple huge wins, looking to keep pace, Lindsay, against Katerina Siniakova.
Yeah, this was an interesting match. It was Svitolina in the beginning part of this match who was able to dictate play with her new and improved forehand. She was ripping winners from the back of the court, able to get the first set under her belt. Always got to watch out for Siniakova, who was able to find that next gear in the second set. All of a sudden, Svitolina, who had been so aggressive, she got passive, and that allowed Siniakova to have a little bit more time, and she was able to then start dictating play. But something clicked for Svitolina early in the third set, where she got back to her winning ways. One of the biggest areas of improvement has been the forehand. Looking for the forehand and executing with that shot. Able to finish points on this slow court. She got a win and still got to her husband's match.
Yeah, that's right. They're sharing diaper duty, I guess, because they're both in the draw. Only dropped 1 point on serve in that final set. Now 10-3 on the year is Svitolina. So, cue the music. Mom tracker time. Four mamas going to knock you out. How about Kerber, Wozniacki, Osaka, and Svitolina staying alive? Three major champs and future Hall of Famers all have been ranked in the top three. But let's take a look at the top 10 seeds here, and we are down to four as these six are out. I mean, four of them losing, two withdrawing. Marketa Vondrousova, by the way, withdrawing from the tournament due to personal reasons. Elena Rybakina, she had an illness. But how about Zhang Qinwen, Lindsay? Lost in the second round. That was a big upset.
That was an upset. Happened late last night. Conditions were slow. But also, on the mom tracker, Victoria Azarenka going out to American Caroline Dolahide. Another upset there. But Pegula was the surprising one for me yesterday.
Pegula out in round two. Ostapenko, Jabeur as well. Prakash, which stands out to you in terms of those six?
Well, it's just unfortunate we had two withdrawals from two Grand Slam champs. I mean, at these kind of events, we want to see them all play.
All right, let's get to your highlight here. It's Grigor Dimitrov, Alexander Muller.
Well, listen, we've been talking about this for a few months now. Actually, more than that. Dimitrov is just finding I think, the best tennis of his career. I think he's going to really surpass the levels that he had in 2017 and make a run at it here. He seems just a little bit more intentional with everything, a little bit more juice on his shots, especially off the backhand wing. His return is looking so good. Check this out. Just kind of goes through it a little bit more, dips it right down at the feet for Muller. Had 81% first serves won, really dictating there. But what was awesome was stepping inside the baseline and keeping Muller to 38% won on his own second serve. And Grigor is returning that well. He's a problem.
Yo, 14-3. This year, just 45 points to defend across Indian Wells. Miami has a chance to get back in the top 10 for the first time since 2018. A couple more one-handed beauties on display, John. Lorenzo Musetti, Denis Shapovalov.
Yeah, got two beautiful one-handed backhands here. This was a very, very tough match. This is a match that Shapovalov would like to have back. Look, he has not been playing well by any stretch of the imagination, but he was able to get on top of Musetti here in this second set. And he was able to take that momentum into the third and was up here a break to try to go up 5-2, was not able to get it done. But look, Shapovalov, during the course of this match, had 12 double faults. So look,
is that bad?
That's not going to work against players of this caliber. And look, you see how much it means Shapovalov. He wanted to get this win. Just was not able to do it. Musetti hasn't had a good year himself, so this is a big confidence building win for Lorenzo, and so we'll see what he can do with it going forward.
Second serves, big difference here. Musetti won nearly 20% more of those. But we saw all those one-handed backhands, Prakash. Grigor said it is a big deal that there are no more one-handers in the top 10 for the first time in history. I know you've got a big theory on this.
I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to my word here. I think from Alcaraz and Sinner downward, anyone younger than that, I think the one-handed backhand is going the way of the dinosaurs. I just think the way the game is played today, the way the courts are, everything kind of playing the same way, and the fact that you just have to blast the ball from both sides, there's less utility for one-handed backhand. And all the kids growing up, you're going to look at the highest evolution of tennis. What is the highest evolution of tennis today? It is Carlos Alcaraz. It is Yannick Sinner. And if you're modeling after that, I don't think you're going to find kids trying to come up with the one-handed backhand.
I would completely agree. I mean, I would never try to teach a kid any backhand, let alone a one-hander. But look, it's a very, very difficult shot to master. I mean, obviously, it's very tough on the return to be able to hit over a one-handed return if you have a one-handed backhand. So look, it's a tough shot to handle. But look, as Prakash said, if you're a kid growing up, you see Novak, you see Sinner, you see Alcaraz, these guys with these incredible two-handed backhands and how they can, you know, hit such amazing shots with their movement, sliding on their outside leg with their two-hander. I wouldn't recommend a one-hander.
It's tough in the developmental years, because if you're between the ages of 8 and 12 and you're trying to hit a one-handed backhand, you're taking a lot of losses as you learn to get the strength and you learn to get the timing down. Much easier when you have two hands on the grip. So a lot of times the juniors, I think it's tough when you're that young to have the long-term view in mind. And with the physicality and how much harder people are hitting the tennis balls, I think that they taste success with the two-hander from a young age. They end up sticking with it, and they want to win. When you're losing in the juniors.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard that one before. Will we ever have a one-hander in the top 10 on the women's side ever again?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It'll happen again.
Okay.
Yeah, someone will come through. Maybe not. At one time, when I first came up on tour, it was like 7 of the top 10 had one-handers. I'm not sure that'll ever be the case, but we'll still see that flash of greatness.
Okay. One caveat, though. If all of a sudden the courts just got grease lightning and the balls got super light, sure. I think it may make sense to have some one-handed backhands, but I don't necessarily see it moving in that direction.
Diane Perry won yesterday.
Okay, so there you go.
Fight the good fight for the one-y. John's just teaching run-around forehand.
Yeah.
That's right.
Big serve. Exactly right. Big serve.
Big serves. Run around your forehand. When we come back, we will remind you what all these former college stars have in common on their rise to the top 100 and show you who could be next. Don't go anywhere. That music just makes you feel good. Welcome back to the desert on this Sunday at Indian Wells, taking a look at our featured matches. Wow, what a day we have. The world number one, Iga Swiatek, taking on a young star in Linda Noskova. How about last year's champion here, Carlos Alcaraz, against the Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime. Yannick Sinner's in action. Katie Volynets has had an amazing tournament thus far, taking on another former champ in Caroline Wozniacki. And then Ben Shelton in the night session against Francisco Cerúndolo. Well, the Hurd Awards began in 2017, a concept developed by Mark Hurd and Oracle to financially assist the best male and female American college tennis players in meeting the costs they face when turning professional. Each year, Mark presented the $100,000 grants here in Indian Wells until his passing in 2019. Continuing the tradition that Mark began, we will reveal the winners of the 2024 Universal Tennis Foundation Hurd Awards in just a few moments. Because today, a young man and woman will join this star-studded list of previous Hurd Award recipients. Half of these players have gone on to reach the top 40 in the world. Mackie McDonald, Danielle Collins, Chris Eubanks, J.J. Wolf, and Peyton Stearns. These are stars. So is the next graphic. Selecting this year's winners, this group of tennis champions and executives who evaluated and debated all the candidates before making their decisions, Paula Hurd, our own Lindsay Davenport and Tracy Austin, Mary Jo Fernandez, Peggy Michael, Gordon Euling, Todd Martin, Mark Leschly, and Chase Hodges. And we are always so happy to welcome in Paula Hurd and Mark Leschly to tell you who's going to win the awards this year. It's great to see you. I look forward to this day every single year at Indian Wells. Paula, I know you were in the stands last night watching last year's recipient. Peyton Stearns put on such a beautiful performance.
Unbelievable. I'm so proud of her. She has such a bright future. I can't wait to see what's in store for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Already in the top 40 in the world, and you got to say much of that, getting that $100,000 grant last year. We're going to tell you who won it this year. But catch us up on kind of how you and Mark developed this and decided to make it happen.
Well, as you know, my late husband was a passionate supporter of the game of tennis, and he played at Baylor. His goal was to fill the gaps from juniors to college to pro tennis. When they canceled the awards, we knew it was a great way to honor my late husband. So, as you mentioned, the $100,000, I'm hoping it helped Peyton focus and not think about how she's going to get to the next tournament. It's a great way to honor Mark. We couldn't have found a better partner in UTR. We're family friends, we're investors in UTR. So when Darcy created, they put together the foundation, it was a perfect fit. I'm blessed to work with the selection committee. They're fantastic. And as you know, the grants are designed to help these folks, and we're super excited about the recipients this year.
Yeah, and as we've seen, they really do help. Mark, there's a new twist this year. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, so, you know, UTR got started really just to help support tennis in general. And about 2.5 years ago, we got into the pro game. And we've created now a global tour around the world, 26 countries, and we've given out $10 million of prize money. But one of the things is that it's super hard. It's a tough journey. And the great thing about that is we get to give back. And as we go through that journey, we've met some wonderful people. I mean, world-class people like Paula, who are super generous. And this year, we had such amazing candidates. And we had two individuals who've been involved, Gordon Ewell and Dr. Jim Lehrer. And Gordon, who's just one, a dear friend, sports innovator, longtime mentor of Novak Djokovic, and just a generous soul, is always giving back. And they were so enamored by the candidates this year and super, super talented. And so the notion of just supporting two players when there's so many that need support. And so basically Gordon, and he's created this thing with Dr. Jim Lehrer called the Youth Performance Institute, which is really to help nurture young people. Give them purpose, allow them to achieve their fullest, you know, figure out how to navigate the past. And Jim Lehrer has mentored 12 number ones in the world. He is the preeminent sort of source and standard on mental toughness. And so they stepped up and they decided that they wanted to provide $100,000 of support this year. They've created two finalist grants. And then they're getting all of the finalists, all the champions, as well as six other candidates together with Jim Lehrer and the Youth Performance Institute to really help mentor them and to teach them the path. So very, very exciting.
So that's priceless. I mean,
getting to
have the inspiration from Jim Lehrer, some motivation there, as well as Gordon. So here are, for the first time ever, the finalist award for the Universal Tennis Foundation Hurt Awards. We've got Chloe Beck and Cannon Kingsley. Chloe Beck of Duke, Cannon Kingsley of Ohio State. You might remember Beck won the Roland Garros Junior Doubles title back in 2019 with Emma Navarro, had the longest ACC singles win streak in Duke history, and Cannon Kingsley plays for number one ranked Ohio State University. They are 16-0 this year. So $40,000 grants to both of them as the finalists. And now it is time to reveal the 2024 Hurt Award champions who will receive that $100,000 grant this year. And two very worthy people will get that. It's Fiona Crawley of the University of North Carolina, Ethan Quinn of Georgia. Tell us more about them.
Well, Fiona's staying at our house, and we had a chance to meet her parents last night, and she's just the sweetest, most extraordinary young woman. She competed in the U.S. Open last year in the main draw. She decided she wanted to go back and have a senior experience to lead her team. She bypassed $100,000, so it's sort of karma that this sort of comes full circle. She's just delightful, and I think she's proven herself already to compete at the next level, and I think she's got a bright future ahead.
Yeah, won the national title in doubles last year, NCAA national title. Also won the national title as a team for North Carolina. So she's led them for 4 years. She's a senior. She's back there playing again. And now knows, Paula, it was $81,000. She earned her way into the U.S. Open last year. Right. Didn't take it because of the NCAA rules. Now she gets $100,000.
Yeah, karma.
So congratulations to Fiona. And how about Ethan Quinn as well? This is a guy who's the top-ranked recruit in the country and lived up to it, backed it up, won the NCAA title.
100%. You know, this is a young kid. You know, he really won that NCAA as a freshman. He is super talented. He's got a UTR that's north of 14. He's already taken to the next level. He qualified here earlier this week, had a tough match against Patrick Kipson. He's been mentored at a young age by Brad Stein, one of the great coaches on the tour, you know, who took Kevin Anderson, works with Tommy Paul. So he's got a great team around him. He's super committed. He's balanced. And his team loved him. And boy, the accolades that came from his coaches and his friends, marvelous.
Already up to 284, career high in the world right now for Ethan. As you mentioned, we saw him here, able to qualify for Indian Wells. He got to a final and a challenger in Cleveland. So things are coming for Ethan Quinn, keeping your eye out for that name, as well as Fiona Crawley. And when are we presenting them with their awards, Paul?
Later this afternoon on the main stage, so hopefully we'll get a crowd, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you, do these people come back to you and like Danielle, I know, is very grateful for this.
Yeah, we keep in touch mostly around performance throughout the year. But I think you'll be talking about these two people next year on this segment. That's my thought.
Absolutely.
And they're great people. I mean, the other thing, we saw Peyton last night. My favorite moment last night with Peyton was when she got up to the net and she had a big smile on her face.
Yeah.
Just a class act, you know. And so it's wonderful to support them.
Well, congratulations once again to all the winners today, the big winners, Ethan and Fiona. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Mark, for all that you do to support the rise of college tennis players into the pros and just the sport in general.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, much more still to come here on TC Live. We are talking about Iga Świątek and Linda Noskova. They are top of the hour. First ball on Stadium One. Don't go anywhere. Bisner, Davenport, Amitraj Weissman back with you. Served with Andy Roddick. The new weekly series on T2. Watch as the Hall of Famer discusses the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim. And this week, it's Brad Gilbert, the coach of Coco Gauff. The new episode drops tonight, 8 Eastern, on T2. You do not want to miss it. And per usual, this time of the show, we focus on the Americans in action. Beginning with Emma Navarro taking on Lesia Sorenko.
And this was late last night, Steve, going on at the same time as the Sabalenka-Stearns match. So a little bit lost in that match, but it was Lesia Sorenko, Steve, who was able to really dictate play the first almost two sets. And Navarro struggled with the conditions. They were slow. It was cold. Sorenko 6-4, 5-4, 30 love serving for the match, and the forehand right here from Navarro completely changed the momentum of the match, was able to reel off the next 8 points, get up 6-5, ends up winning the second set to take it to a third. She had the momentum at that point. She had some of the crowd behind her as well. It was late, though, but Navarro, she's a baller, and she competed throughout this match. You might not show it, but she never gets down on herself and figured out a way to win. A really good sign for the youngster. Won a match. She didn't play her best tennis. A theme of yesterday.
She is a baller. Former NCAA champ from the University of Virginia. 2024 could be the year of Emma Navarro. How about Jessie Pegula? She's got some new coaches in her box looking for good vibes in the desert. Rematch, Lindsay.
Pegula was able to win that match in three sets, so knew what she was up against Blinkova, but just started off a little bit flat in that first set. Credit to Jess, who was able to find her game in the second set. These are tough conditions for Pegula, though, who typically plays better on a little bit of a faster court. Getting her serve, she was trying to get free points with her serve. That was a real focus in February. Her serve got worse as the match went on. The first serve percentage went down, and because of that, Blinkova, able to get so many looks at second serves, got her confidence. She was able to dictate play. And Blinkova, one of the best competitors also. She fights through everything. The crowd was for Pegula. The game just wasn't there for Jess. She's working hard. You know it's going to come back. But for right now, in one of those little bit of a lull.
Yeah, one of the bigger upsets we have seen thus far. Blinkova having the best year of her young career. She moves on, taking out one of the top seeds on the women's side. To the men we go. Seb Korda coming off the quarterfinals in Dubai, taking on Roman Safiulin. Prakash.
Starting to find his best range here. Seb Korda did great job on his serve, making life a lot easier for him. 6 aces and a huge stat, 170% on his second serve. So he really backed things up well right there. You get a look at how big his first serve is. And when you're doing that, you can open up a little bit more on the return of serve. He was stepping into the court nicely, especially on that forehand side. See this one taking it up the line. When he's staying right up on that baseline with those short compact swings, always feel that's when he's his most effective. And let's not overlook his opponent. Roman Safuyan has been playing some great tennis, beat Carlos Alcaraz in the Paris Masters last year. But Sepp Korda, just a different level here. A little bit of those intangibles there, kind of with that uncomfortable forehand slice, finding his way.
Broke four times. Sepp Korda a little under the radar right now, but keep your eyes on the 29 seed from the U.S. of A. Gets Medvedev next. Rematch from Delray Beach, John, that went three sets between Americans Tommy Paul and Alex Mickelson. That was a battle. This, not so much.
That was an absolute battle. 7-6 in the third. This was not. Look, Tommy is just absolutely rock solid. Alex Mickelson had a very, very tough day on serve. He only held serve three times the entire match. Tommy broke serve five times in a 2-2 comprehensive win. So he takes the first set 6-2, and it was much of the same in the second set for Tommy. This is what he does when he's fully confident, in full flight. He's so good on return, and he moves incredibly well. There's just not much you can do against Tommy when he's playing like this on a slow court. But look, it's a good learning experience for Alex. He's going to have plenty more matches like this to test himself.
TP, a PTP here. When he is dialed in, it's really tough to stop him. Tommy Paul moving on. Let's take a look at some matches with the Americans today. This is my popcorn match of the day. We got Big Foe, Big Feezy in action against Stefano Tsitsipas.
Hadn't heard that one.
Prakash, but the franchise, P5, Fo Fum. I mean, we can go all day with Francis. Go. Listen, both of them looking for their first top 20 wins of the year. Who gets it?
It's going to be a tough one. I think from what I saw from both players, actually, I think Francis might be able to pull this out. I like that he was a little bit more aggressive. If he can start taking a few of Stefanos' second serves and doing that bum rush that served him so well when he made the semifinals of the U.S. Open, I like his chances, especially if he can press that backhand side. Steph likes to take his time. Steph is a big boy. When he's dictating play with enough time from the baseline, that's when he's at his best. So I'd like to see Francis take a little bit of that away from him, and he's going to also have to serve well because Stefanos does well attacking second serve. So keep that up and attack. I think he's got a great shot.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a very, very close match in my opinion. Look, it's all, for me, it's going to be how Francis handles Stefanos' second serve. We saw what he did in his first round match against Lajovic. He was taking that second serve early, coming in just as Prakash was saying. That's Francis' game. When he's confident, when he's doing all this stuff, he's very, very tough to beat. But this is going to be a very, very tough match. They both played very well in their first contest out here. So this is about as popcorn as it gets.
Yeah, right.
For a third round match.
I'm surprised it was at 11.
Yeah.
It'd be
a night session,
yeah,
something.
Or late afternoon, but
T2, Leaf Showers, Paul Anacone. Yep. Catch that. You do not want to miss that. Katie Vollinet's trying to catch your eye, Lindsay. Get into that Billie Jean King Cup conversation. had that huge win against Ons Jabeur. Now takes on a former world number one in Caroline Wozniacki.
I like that Vollinet's had a day off after the biggest win of her career. Sometimes it gives a player just a little bit of time to settle down and get back to work. Obviously, her phone was blowing up. I'm sure she got thousands of messages from friends. So able to reset, but a tough out again for Vollinet's to play Wozniacki. Wozniacki playing some of the best tennis in her comeback, dealing with a little bit of a wrist injury, so we'll see how Wozniacki's hand is, but Wozniacki's not going to give her anything. There's no free points. And by the way, Wozniacki gets to everything. That was something that Jabeur really struggled with her movement. Yep. Vollinet's is not going to get as many free points against Caro.
All right, looking forward to that and all the Americans in action today. When we come back, it is our FanDuel match preview. Sasha Zverev taking on Talon Griekspoor. May the odds be ever in your favor. Back on TC Live, Francis Tiafoe getting ready to go. We got Bethany Mattek-Sands in this shot as well. Everybody warming up, but Big Foe has a big match coming up on T2 and Bally Sports. And Jessica Pegula's got some doubles action today with Coco Gauff. It'll be Leaf Showers, Paul Anacone on the call. Francis Tiafoe, Stefanos Tsitsipas. Get your popcorn ready. Mark Knowles there. Look, everybody's hanging out. Time now for our FanDuel match preview. We've got Alexander Zverev and Talon Griekspoor. Zverev leads the head-to-head 2-1. That means Griekspoor's got to win. It came last year in Rotterdam, but Zverev the big-time favorite here. John, what do you make of these odds?
Well, I am actually going to defer to Prakash here. So as we talked about the Monfils-Hurkacz match yesterday, and he thought there was very good value on Monfils, and he was exactly right. So Prakash, I'm going to hand this off to you, buddy.
Well, we had good plus money yesterday on Monfils, who was not the favorite there, and then went with him. Today, I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm actually expecting big things from Zverev. He had a great Australian Open. I actually think this court is really good for him. He lost a brutal one to Daniil Medvedev over here last year when he wasn't quite finding his way just yet. I think he's due for a really good week. So even though Greek Sport has been playing the best tennis of his career over the last 4 or 5 months, I'll take that minus 340 and just take a little consistent ROI and put it in your boy's pocket.
But is he going to break serve in the first game? Do you see the bottom line?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
What
was
second
that?
Bet up
what was
there.
That? That was a plus 480 or something like that, right? So maybe you take the big
hedge.
Number. Yeah, you put, no, you put the big number on the minus 340 because you got a consistent win there. Then just throw a couple of ducats, just a couple of chips on the break in the first game.
In the first game, maybe a double fault or two to help the call.
No, not really ready to go.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like you bet the 6 and the 8, but then you just throw a little chip on the snake eyes and stuff like that.
My guy's wearing green because he's so money.
Yeah, that's right. Weitzman, don't do it to me. You're hyping me up. I'm ready to go.
A reminder. For FanDuel, that guess what? New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Start making every moment more. Couple ducats. Time now to enter the social net. A couple days ago, Rafa Nadal posted this video on his Instagram story. Looks like he's in the desert. The words say clay, tierra, which means clay in Spanish. Smacking his racket against his shoe. Lindsay, what does this mean to you?
No, he's just sending out a message. Don't count me out yet. I don't think he's actually on the clay yet, but okay. I think he's just sending a message that's where he's going to next.
Because I don't see any clay coming out of his shoe.
He's not done. He's not retiring. He had a setback here again, but he's still looking forward to the future. You got to read between the lines sometimes, Steve.
Okay, John?
Yeah, I mean, are there any red clay courts in Palm Springs, California? I don't know about that. There might be, but
there is one club that has them.
Okay.
They have a grass, red clay, and hardcore. I think Mission Hills has all three.
Maybe that's where he was. But look, we all know that the clay court is going to bode a lot better for him. It's going to help his body. Hard courts have not been his thing as of late. His body just can't quite hold up on it.
It's a symbol. It's not literal, Steve.
No, it is a symbol.
I'm a literal guy.
I think it's a little bit of like it's like a superhero calling. It's basically just putting out a post like, you know, when you put the bat signal out, it's like, you know, Joker, Harley Quinn, everyone got to get ready. You're just wiping off the clay.
Thank you.
It's the bat signal coming out because come clay court season, everyone's like, you guys know what time it is.
Okay. So is he getting 15?
Why you got to go from 0 to 10?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Well, we like Drake.
Yeah, we'll see him in action. If his body can hold up
real quick,
if his body can hold up over the course of 2-3 tournaments.
One match on play? Can we see that?
No.
Okay. It's been a couple years.
By the way, if his body holds up, even if he's 30-40% less than he was at his best, he's still one of the top favorites.
Can we seed him though? Can we please seed him?
No, you can't. Oh, not his friend.
I know. I'm saying.
I know. But
Lindsay, I'm not mad at. By the way, if you started a petition, I'd sign it.
Okay.
I would too. Okay. Sign off on that.
Thank you.
Let's make it happen. If you all say it, I mean, I think that's enough. Tomorrow, it's the Sepp Korda Circle of Life. Explains how it's affecting his playing career. It's our tennis story, and we're focusing on that man. Cannot wait for that story. Leading up to the top of the hour, world number one, former champion here, Iga Swiatek against one of the young players, up and coming, Linda Noskova. Looking forward to this matchup. We got Chanda Rubin, Coco Vandeweghe on the call, just moments away.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
Back on TC Live, it is that time. Hot shot of the day. And you know, when our guy Lamolf is on the court, he's got to be a part of it.
Look at this. And it came from 5-love up. Not enough to just play great tennis, but you got to show him a little bit of everything. Nice tweener there from Hubie. Hubie gives him the tweener again. Both players, but a little bit hops. And colder than the point was the celebration is.
Yeah, look, it was 5-0. I mean, both players knew this set was over. Let's do a little razzle-dazzle on the court. Hubie loves a good tweener. He had two of them. Monfils had a drop shot that hit the let court, landed on the line. a perfect point to play at 5-0 exhibition style. The crowd loved it. What a moment.
Are we getting shades of Jordan in 93 with the threes and the
right,
shrug?
Over Craig Elo.
Come on.
Cleveland Cavs. How about that knowledge?
The Monfils shrug. Gotta love that. Order of play today. These women and men looking to make the Sweet 16 in the desert. Iga Świątek, Linda Noskova rematch from Australia. Iga did not win that one. Carlos Alcaraz, losing record against Felix Auger-Aliassime. Let's talk about it. Carlitos, 1-3 against Felix Auger-Aliassime. Although it's a rematch from last year here, Prakash, where Carlitos got his only win on the way to the title. But why is this such a good matchup for Felix Auger-Aliassime historically?
Well, I think because he's got a dynamic game enough where he can actually press Carlos and put him on the defensive. You know, he hits the ball big enough. He's very capable at the net. And when he's lighting it up with his serve, he's got that big boy type tennis, which saw him reach his peak not too long ago. Now he's still finding his way. Look, Carlos, massive favorite today, especially considering last year and the way the match went down. But I think this is a huge opportunity for Felix, who, in trying to find his way, if you can somehow get a win like this, that's going to create all sorts of momentum for you moving through the season. So I think he should be really jacked up coming in.
Yeah, look, we all know Felix is extremely streaky. He's on a good streak today. He can give Carlos fits. He has three wins against him. But look, we're not accustomed to seeing the number 31 beside FAA's name. So we know what he's capable of. He's been in the top 10 in the world. Yeah. He's far from that right now. But as I said, streaky player. And if he's on a good streak, he could be very tough.
If he gets on one, watch out for this one. Could have an upset brewing. Speaking of upsets, Linda Noskova had the biggest one in Australia, taking out Iga Świątek. Who wins the rematch?
Interesting. Iga's never played her best tennis down under, and it's just a little bit too quick for her so far, and that really helped Noskova in that match. It's so completely different here, and the ball bounces up. That really rewards all the spin that Świątek gets on her shots. She'll have more time to prepare and set up for her forehand. Świątek does not like to be rushed. These courts give her time. She also creates time with her footwork, but she'll have more time to set up on this court. I think she gets through in straights.
In straight sets, John, what do you think about Iga Świątek and the way she's been playing so far? Obviously, she's a former champion here.
Yes, look, she knows what she's doing. She's going to be very, very comfortable. Very different service, as Lindsay said, to Australia. So she's the favorite for a reason, no more in the world for a reason as well. So, but it'll be a good match.
One little added element, too, I completely agree with what both you guys are saying. But, you know, players like Iga, it's very rare you beat them twice in a row. Yeah. You know, the minute they lose one match to you, they make adjustments right away. A lot of times they're able to do it mid-match, but certainly after getting over the hump and actually beating that person, she's going to come out very fired up today. I like in straight sets.
Straight sets. Will we have a bagel, Lindsay? Is the bakery open
now,
for
now
Iga?
You're pushing it, Steve. Now
I'm
you're pushing it.
Not worried about that. Okay? She just wants to get the W.
I think we may have a bagel. I don't know. Find out. Iga Świątek, Linda Noskova is up next. Chanda Rubin, Coco Vandeweghe on the call. We'll be here at the desk all day long to interview your favorite players. But after a quick break, we start this Sunday in the desert. Thanks for watching TC Live.